Welcome to Making Change, a podcast of the Chronicle of Philanthropy. I'm Hilda Gottlieb, author of The Pollyanna Principles and co-founder of Creating the Future, where our mission is to make visionary community improvement the norm in the social change arena rather than the exception. It is my privilege to host this podcast, where we talk with change leaders from around the world about this sector's potential for creating visionary social change. I'm so pleased to welcome Bob Oldfather as my guest on Making Change. For years now, the suggestion that social change efforts should run like a business has been met with mixed emotions and has created mixed results. There's been pushback from traditional nonprofits and the rise of the social entrepreneur movement, all related to that one battle cry that social change efforts should run more like a business. One thing is for certain. There are indeed businesses that can be beacons for what is possible in the social change arena. Bob Oldfather is the owner of just such a business, Bookman's Used Books, the largest chain of used bookstores in the U.S. And Bob's success in growing Bookman's from a tiny used bookstore to the emporium it is today is entirely due to the same factors that will make community organizations successful in their own work. From Bob's emphasis on values-based decision-making to his dedication to creating an environment for employees that makes them want to be at work, to his deep understanding that partnering with community organizations is not just about giving money, but about accomplishing something powerful together. There is much that any organization, for-profit or nonprofit, can learn about creating successful community change from the way Bob has built Bookman's. Given Bob's years of experience using his business to create the community he wants to see and being an example of what that can look like in the day-to-day practices of any organization, it is my pleasure to have Bob Oldfather share his observations with us today here on Making Change. My guest today on Making Change is Bob Oldfather with Bookman's Books in Arizona. I was going to say Tucson, Arizona, but in Arizona. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you very much for having me.
It is very exciting for me because you are going to be my first guest from my hometown of Tucson. So, and it's interesting that even though we're in the same town, we're doing this via Skype. So.
Right. So now the pressure is all on me. Oh, the first Tucson homeboy one.
Represent, Bob.
Yeah, don't mess it up now.
Represent. Tell our listeners a little bit about how you got into this. Bookman's is probably just about the largest used bookstore chain in the country.
That's exactly right.
Tell us how you fell into this and a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, falling into it was exactly it. I thought I was going to be a mechanical engineer, and I was 25, and I thought, oh, wow, I guess I better do something about my life and quit being a ski bum. Came back to Tucson where my dad was, and he had kind of fallen into a little used bookstore that he started by buying a bunch of books at an auction. He decided he wanted to move to another town, and he sold me this little used bookstore for $1.
as if it was a used book.
Exactly. So I bought the store from him, and now it's 6 stores and an online store and almost 300 employees and about $30 million in sales. And people ask me, well, why are you been successful? Mm-hmm. And I think mostly it was I had no idea what to do with retail. I never expected to be in retail. I wasn't the kid hanging out in the library saying someday I'll have my own bookstore. So I made the book and music store what I wanted, what place that I wanted to go. It allowed me to do things that really no other used store of any kind has ever done.
Wow. I'm looking forward to diving into that a little bit because I'm going to guess it has a lot to do with the question that I'm about to ask you. I start all of these interviews the same, and one of the interesting things about talking with you in particular is that folks in Tucson know you as really embedded in the community, that Bookman's is community, community is Bookman's. And so when it comes to seeing change happen in the community, what are the kinds of things that you see causing that change?
the whole internet is the new industrial revolution. And the previous one changed the world by bringing machines that would substitute for our muscles. And now there's all these machines that are substituting or enhancing our brains. That is probably the largest underlying thing I think that's happening all over the world. That ability to form intentional communities, and that is going to change us at a sociological level that I don't even think we have the slightest clue what's going to happen.
Yeah. And well, and one of the things in terms of forming intentional communities, it's one of the many things that Bookman's has done. In the store on Speedway, you have created a community room.
Yes. Bookman's whole concept, in fact, this goes back to community way, way back when I realized, oh my gosh, I've got a job now that I've got to be here every day. I wanted to make a cool place to hang out, and I wanted a cool place for me. And so the whole underpinnings of Bookman's is that this is a community space that just happens to sell books and music. And that's how we do our decor, that's how we do our furnishings, that's the layout, the lighting. Everything is based on come in here, hang out, make yourself at home, feel free to use it as a third place, that there's work and home and a third place. And if you want something that we happen to sell, then you know where to get it. So that's the underlying core principle that I think makes us successful, that it is community. And if you want to buy what we got, great. Otherwise, come here and hang out and make my other customers feel comfortable. It's really kind of a party.
And it is. Does that translate to your employees?
Absolutely. Then if we look at work, you spend the greatest percentage of your life working. Mm-hmm. The more hours of our lives are spent there. Shouldn't it be awesome or as awesome as it can be? Why does it have to be hell like so many jobs are? So we've really gone out of our way to make the employee experience as positive as it can be, whether it's with benefits or a lot of autonomy. And we have almost no turnover at Bookman's. I mean, literally, we have people there 10, 15, 20 years.
Wow.
Working, even at the counter. I have a guy that's worked at the counter for over 20 years.
So when you talk about autonomy, tell me what that looks like.
Well, our stores tend to be very independent. They kind of run like their own little empires, and obviously there's things they have to do, but they're there. I'm not. And the
right.
Corporate office, they're there seeing what the customers say, what they're interested in, not interested in, what they like and don't like. People given autonomy usually do a lot better job than those that are tied into wear your hat at 12.7 degrees and cook those fries for 3.2 minutes.
Well, I will confess to you that just like probably every kid in town, my daughter did a stint at Bookman's one summer. And so from the employee point of view, the autonomy that I would hear about as just a college kid working at a summer job were things like the autonomy a counter person has to, you know, you look like you're having a bad day. Can I give you a discount?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's an autonomy. When you talk about giving people autonomy, they do better and they thrive. That's autonomy beyond the management level. That's autonomy for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. The people that are interacting directly with the customers, why not? Help somebody out, make a deal. And when we buy stuff, there'll be all these kind of strange deals. Well, all right, I'll give you $10 in trade, $5 in cash, those two comic books that your kid has in your hand, and I'll carry it out to your car. How's that? All right, done. It's more of that kind of classic old marketplace idea, that bizarre and both versions of that word.
Well, and again, that comes back to building community.
Exactly.
That comes back to the fact that I was having lunch with somebody yesterday, mentioned that I was going to have this interview, and they said, oh, I take my dog there.
And that's part of the community, too. People can bring their dogs. We do dog adoptions. We do things that are community-oriented. You could spend $1,000 on an ad, and it's gone in a flash. Mm-hmm. And if I give $1,000 to Cecilia's Cat Rescue or something like that, mm-hmm. there's so much good comes out of that. And so much positive, you turn people into evangelists, too. So it works for both of us.
It's really interesting. You're not only talking about business changing community, you're talking about community changing business.
The power to change our society anymore rests with business. It's not churches like it once was. The government is whatever. You know,
what day is it?
Exactly. Where the money is anymore is with business. I want to use this thing. I've got this horsepower of this engine. I would like to think on my deathbed that I could look back and say, wow, the planet is this little tiny bit better because of this thing I did. And that's where the strength of business is. And you're starting to see it. There are socially responsible businesses. There is beginning to be a little bit of a backlash to companies that are without passion and without compassion. And I'm glad to be on this side of it. And I look around at the things we've done, literacy volunteers, we support music education, all these things. And wow, you know, some kid plays the guitar because I ponied up a few bucks.
Mm-hmm. Listening to just what feels very natural to you and very normal to you as the way that you built this business, we tend to think, well, yes, large businesses can engage in communities because they've got the luxury of doing so, or they can donate, or they can do it. But what you're really proving is that it's small, local businesses that just by the way they do their work can affect change, that they don't have to be, quote unquote, donating to charity, that just by the way they're doing their work, that a small local business can make a difference.
You said it better than I did. It's we're usually so bound up in the fact that, oh my gosh, my sink's plugged up. I got to get a plumber here today, without really thinking, okay, if I send for this plumber, is that in keeping with what I said was my greater goal? And one of the big things lately is spend local, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to spend as much money as I can local because it stays in the local economy. It helps my neighbors. What is the value? What values does this person have, this company have, this that manufactures this product or plumbs my sink? Are their values in sync with what I said my values were? Or is it just that they're the cheapest or the fastest? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the fastest is the most important. I need to take a shower so I can get to work this morning. But my company and myself try to think about, is everybody that I surround myself with in keeping with my values, which you tend to do with your friends.
Right.
You tend to congregate with those that are in sync with your values. And I believe that should be in all walks of your life. The place you shop is the place you shop. I would hope that Bookman's is in sync with a lot of people's values. And that's kind of how we try to direct our money. Or everybody we come in contact with, are they as in sync with our values as possible? Not just are they the cheapest.
And that has an influence beyond dollars. You can tell when a business is being community-minded so that their profits will be higher, versus when it is really their core values.
And then your profits are still higher. The truth is, you can treat your employees and your customers and your suppliers with respect and not be a jerk and still make a bunch of money. That's the funny part of it, is that you don't have to. You can sleep well at night and people around you be successful and support your community and have a really good time. I'm having a really good time.
It's very obvious. When you choose to support causes in the community, sit on boards or sponsor some things, what are some of the decisions that you're making? What are some of the things that you're looking at when you're choosing?
Well, part of what we did was we said, all right, let's find some core things so that we can spend enough money with these things to affect some kind of change, and versus mm-hmm. giving $10 here and there and there and there.
Right.
Literacy, which we mean to be not only reading, but musical literacy, because I think it's important. Animals, the things we do for animals, come from my own personal life. And I feel like, okay, there's tons of people speaking for all kinds of people. I think we could speak for animals a little bit. So there are the basic ones that we do. But these others come up like, do we feel it's in keeping with our value system? Is this something where our amount of money, whatever amount of money we're looking at, can make a significant advance, improvement, help out. And again, it's a business, so are we going to get a little positive press out of this too?
Mm-hmm.
I can't lie. Obviously, if we're not in business, then I can't give money to anybody or time or effort. And so,
well, it almost feels that the business making money is less an ends and more a means to an end.
I would say that's true. I mean, it's never been about money. It was about, could I create something really cool that made me want to go to work since I had to, mm-hmm. and made people want to come in and hang out and be my friends and party at Bookman's? If I could do that and do it consciously, how about that? Like, I want to be conscious about these things and not just do it because every bookstore ever did it or every business has done it this way. And then people give me money. So I guess it's like, here, have some money because you pleased us.
Cool. And it's a beautiful cycle because they give you money and you're putting it right back into creating this community space.
That's exactly it. And I like this whole community space. And I like the fact that I see Bookman's t-shirts on people or Bookman's at the Little League game or something. I'm, wow, look at that. Those kids are got those cool little uniforms because I sold some used books.
Well, the proof is in the pudding. Bookman's is growing and doing well. There is not a time of day or a time of year where you can get a space in the parking lot. And you are growing when others are shrinking. And so the proof is definitely in the pudding that building community and really using this wonderful tool that you have, which happens to be this chain of used entertainment stuff.
That's right.
Is a wonderful tool for building community, and community is building that business. It's a wonderful symbiosis.
Anybody can do it. We'll go back to your first point that you don't have to be as big as we are, have 300 employees or anything like that. It's just being conscious. And what is it you decided you wanted to do? And can you make steps in that direction? And there's always a choice. I mean, that's what life's about, is choices. Can you make a choice to improve things in the way you'd like to see them? Money has huge power, little bits of it. I think money is energy. And that's why when you let go of it or spend it, you can direct it where you want to. It's very powerful.
Is there anything in our last minutes together that you're excited about that you would like to share?
I guess I'm talking maybe other business people. I really think about the people that work for me. And it's easy to say that I need to be aware that they pay the rent, mm-hmm. and they feed their families, and they do whatever community things they do based on the decisions I make. Mm-hmm. And those decisions, I need to honor those people that are working for me. And I need to think about, I would like them, their kids, to be able to work at Bookman's till they retire. Mm-hmm. What kind of decisions can I make today? It isn't just about me. It's about their kids and their families. And the other kind of esoteric part of it is, whatever happens to us after this life, I don't know. But one thing I do know is this particular life, you only get this time.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are working for me are giving me their life force every day. Every day, they're contributing something they'll never, ever, ever get back that day.
Yeah.
And I owe that a ton of respect. And not only to be sure that they can have a job if they want to keep it, but that at the end of their working life, they don't look back and go, wow, I wasted my entire working life for a paycheck. And nothing came out of it. And I think about that every single day, that I want to be sure that these hundreds of people that work for me have something to look back to be proud of. And if more business people and thought about what they're getting from those that work for them, something irreplaceable, invaluable, amazing, amazing life, and to hold that in the highest respect, I think we might have some change that I would like to see.
Hmm. Well, Bob, thank you so much for spending time with us today. The one thing that I'm coming away with from this conversation is that we so often think of creating change by the things that we do. And what is becoming very clear in this conversation is that we create change frequently simply by who we are and having the integrity to walk that talk in just about everything that you do, whether it's business, whether it's community, or not even seeing the line between those. So thank you very much for sharing that with us today.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I hope you enjoyed it.
I confess that in speaking with Bob, my interviews on this show with both Peter Block and John McKnight kept running through my head. Peter and John both talk so much about the theory of trusting communities to build community. As I spoke with Bob, all I kept thinking is, this is what that looks like from the inside. When we think of social change, we so often think of huge, sweeping change, and that sometimes feels overwhelming to those who are on the ground trying to make things happen. But Bob's examples show that change can happen when a business owner wants his business to be the kind of place where he wants to spend his time. Bob shows us that creating change can be as simple as choosing to be happy that someone who is absolutely not intending to buy anything at all is hanging out in your store, making your other customers feel comfortable. And he shows the importance of an employer being conscious of the impact he has on his employees simply by the work environment he creates, and how that will impact the future those employees create, both on the job and in the rest of their lives. As Bob noted, it all comes down to living our values, which has everything to do with how change efforts of all kinds can be the future they want to see, not long in the future, but right now. And that leads to questions for your own work. As you consider the attitudes and values and behaviors you'd like to see in others, how are you modeling those attitudes and values in your own work? Are the values you wish to see in others reflected in how you treat your staff, in how you treat the groups with whom you partner, in how you treat your customers and clients, your patrons and program participants? Are those values reflected in how you relate to the community you're seeking to impact? And lastly, and perhaps the most telling and most difficult question for organizations of all kinds, if someone were to observe both your organization's internal and external behaviors, what values might they think are important to you? As you begin exploring these big questions, I hope you'll share your observations at the Chronicle's website, philanthropy.com, and at Creating the Future's Facebook page at facebook.com/creatingthefuture. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Making Change. If you have ideas for guests for this podcast, folks who are driving new ways of thinking about what it takes to create visionary social change, please get hold of me through our website at creatingthefuture.org. Thanks for listening and for wanting to create a better future for your community and our world. For the Chronicle of Philanthropy, I'm Hilde Gottlieb. We'll see you the second Thursday of next month here on Making Change.